This morning's scripture reading is from Romans 8, verses 37 through 39. Romans 8, 37 through 39. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother Scott.
Well, good morning. You have a number that are visiting with us. We are so thankful that you are here. I would ask you to open up your Bibles to Acts 27. Acts 27 is where the lesson will be taken from this morning. I don't know about you, but the way that this weather has been going and the forecast that has been given is amazing to me. Going back to the old days of things like this seems to make the most sense. The idea of understanding what the most accurate forecast is simply comes down to if it's wet, it's rained. If it's covered with white, it's snowed. The idea of understanding that we can know for sure after the fact of what's happened. But the forecasting out, sometimes we are not just great at. But in Acts the 27th chapter, there's an interesting story that occurs when it comes to this forecast. See, in Acts 27, Paul is going out and he's in the midst of these storms. He's on his way to Rome. He had been told he was going to go to Rome, and remember that as we go through this. He had already knew he was going to go to Rome. And so he's in this boat. And verses 1 through 12 talks about the fact that there was this, just the winds were against them. They couldn't get to where they wanted to go. The idea very clearly of things that were occurring. The problem of how the winds would just go absolute against them. Verse 4, as an example, says the winds were contrary to them. They stop. And then something happens. In verse 13, if you turn over there with me. Verse 13, it says, when the moderate south wind came up, supposing that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and began sailing along Crete, close inshore. This beautiful wind occurs. This very nice wind that was favorable. The south wind blew gently, your version may say. Now we can sail. You see what the problem was? What was coming up next, they were not ready for. Matter of fact, if they had known it was coming, they would not have sailed. It is something that your Bible may give different names to. But the reality is for you and I, it was a violent wind. May call it a northeaster or a nor'easter in our country. A hurricane. A huge storm. A storm that you would never, never sail in. It's not even something that you would even consider. But because of the fact that there was a nice gentle breeze beforehand, they thought that they were going to be fine. So they go out sailing. And as they are going along, they realize they had made a very big mistake. You see, Paul tells them, Paul's a prisoner on this boat, and he tells the people, I really believe that there's something bad that's about to happen. I don't think that we should sail. And you look at verses 10 and 11, which we'll read. He's talking to them. He says, men, I perceive that the voyage will certainly be with damage and great loss, not only for the cargo and the ship, but also for of our lives. But the centurion was more persuaded by the pilot and the captain of the ship than by what was being said by Paul, which he should be, by the way. The prisoner is saying, I don't think that we should go. The centurion says, I'm going to listen to the captain. He obviously knows better, or he should know better. Now, that's wrong. It was a wrong choice, because we know the rest of the story, and we know who Paul is. But I want to tell you something. It is very clear that there are sometimes we make our decisions, and the decisions that we make are just wrong sometimes. And then the reality of it is, sometimes you don't have a choice. Sometimes bad things happen because other people make bad decisions. Paul was going to go on this boat simply because he was a prisoner, whether he liked it or not, shall we say. He was going, even though he believed. or was persuaded that it was not going to be a good situation. There are times in our lives where the decisions that we make impact us, obviously. And there are times in our lives where the decisions that other people make, we'll call it free will have an impact on us. And it's a view for you and for me to understand that those storms that come up and the things that you have to go through, Paul's going to say later on, I told you so. But the reality is you're still going to have to go through them. There are times where we go through various difficulties, mainly because we're a child of God. In Matthew the 5th chapter, verse 11 and 12, that's what Jesus says. Blessed are you. Blessed are you when you're insulted. Blessed are you when you're ridiculed. Why? For my name. Because the reward is worth it. There are going to be things that you go through in this life that, first of all, obviously are from your decisions that you make, and they're the consequences of those decisions. And then there's times that you're going to go through things because somebody else chose. In either case, God is going to be with you if you allow him to. And that's the interesting thing of the story in Acts 27 that I want to get to. This idea that we've been talking about this year of fixing our eyes on Jesus. One of the things that's so powerful to me is what is said at the rest of this Acts 27. You see, because we have this view of Paul that Paul never got scared, and that's not true. That Paul never lost hope, and that is absolutely not true. That there were not times where Paul struggled. He absolutely did. And we're going to see that in this chapter. Because Paul was not some sort of a superhero. Paul was a human. But Paul's relationship with God was so that he was able to get through these things, just like you and I can, or just like you and I have the opportunity to. We'll continue on in Acts the 27th chapter. You go down to 14 and 15. It's where you have these words or this description of this huge, huge storm. They couldn't face it. But I want you to notice as we keep going when you get down to verse 20. Since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. This is Paul and Luke. It wasn't the sense, again, that where they were going to end up from the standpoint of eternity. That's not the issue here. They thought they were going to die in this boat. All hope was lost. And I think we can understand why. They saw no light. They were being knocked around every second of every day and every night for days. Can you imagine that? I can't. It's one thing to be in a house and have this occur. And the understanding of the power of a storm. It's one thing to be in a basement knowing when there's a tornado. We all have, or many of us, I'm sure, have been in those situations. It's another thing entirely when you're on a small boat that you know full well will be destroyed. And they lost hope. Have you ever been in that situation? Where we lose hope in the situations that we find ourselves in? Where we don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, as we'll talk about. You know, over in Romans, the 8th chapter, the verses that were read to us in 37 through 39. Can you turn over there with me? I love these verses so much because this is the reality of this situation. It doesn't matter what you are going through. Nothing will take you away from his love. Nothing. There is nothing. But the difficulty sometimes is when we're going through these things, what do we question? Many times we can question God. And it's not whether or not he loves us. That's not the issue. It wasn't the issue for Paul in Acts 27. The issue is all the different things that are mentioned here. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Nothing that has been created can take you away from the love of God. I can walk away from it, but guess what? He still loves you. Nothing can take you away from his love. Nothing. So even when you're going through these difficulties, even by the way, when you're put on a boat and it wasn't your decision, and you're going through the difficulties because it's somebody else's decision, he still loves you. He's still with you. As we've talked about so often, and the understanding of what true peace is not the absence of problems. And I'm going to tell you, it's a beautiful phrase for us to say. It is difficult for people to put in action. It's not the absence of problems, it's the presence of God, is the statement, is the quote. It's beautiful. But to put that in action is very, very difficult for many people. Why would God allow me to go through these difficulties? That's not what peace is. The peace is he'll never allow you to go through these difficulties alone. Do you have your eyes fixed on Jesus? You know what the hard part is? Some of these storms that people go through in their lives are just so huge that you see no way out. That's exactly where Paul is. There's no way out. At least that's our perspective of it. But the reality is, there was going to be a way out. Now, here's the interesting thing as we continue on. If you turn back to Acts, the 27th chapter, of what occurs here. So they saw no sun, no stars for many, many days. We're not told exactly how many days. They gradually lose hope. And I want to pick up in verse 22, because what happens here, first of all, it's verse 21 is the I told you so verse. Paul gets up and says, men, I told you so, basically, which never helps a situation. But that's why he starts off with in verse 21. But verse 22, yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have told you. But we must run aground on a certain island. I want you to consider this for just a minute. See, it's amazing what Paul is saying now. This isn't the first time Paul's heard this, though. Paul had been told before he was going to go to Rome. Why would he have to be told again? Why would he have to be told, do not be afraid, Paul? Have courage, Paul. Why would he need to be told that? Because he was afraid. He was scared. He's human. He was in the midst of a horrible situation. The difference, though, of Paul is when he's told this, he absolutely believes it and has courage in it from it to tell the other people. He's going to get us through this. But there is no doubt in my mind that Paul was afraid. No doubt. There are certain people in the scriptures. We see this in the Old Testament with the New Testament Pharisees in particular. They would put people on pedestals. Abraham, Moses, great men. No doubt about it, but they were men. Paul is the same. Paul did some amazing things, and there was no question about that, but there were times where he had to be reminded, just like you and I do. How often when we go through something in our lives, does it help for us to be reminded of the fact that this world is not my home? That I am living for something far greater than this? How many times do we have to be told that, though? How many times? How many times do I have to be reminded to take courage? You know, it's interesting to me how often God tells Joshua, you need to take courage. Take courage. Why? Because Joshua needed to have courage. Why would he have to be told time and time again? Same thing for us. There's the understanding that there are times we're going to go through things that we never can see a way out. The reality is, God has never left your side. He has never stopped loving you. And the amazing thing to me in this story is verse 26 in the first word. Brethren, the winds did not stop simply because Paul said, God said we're going to live. So much so, he says, God's going to save us, but we have to be shipwrecked. We're going to have to crash. What kind of a saving is that? You and I, from our perspective, is that the way that you'd want to be saved? Just stop the storm. Nope. You got to go to an island. You're going to crash into that island. Matter of fact, I'm going to make the soldiers decide if everybody has to stay on the boat and we're afraid that one of these prisoners is going to jump ship, they're going to want to kill you, which, by the way, they should. But the centurion says, no, we all have to be alive when we get there. And so they all live. But they still had to crash. You and I can understand that we're going to go through difficulties in our lives. That doesn't mean just simply because we turn to God or have a relationship with God that that stops. It does mean, though, that he is with us. It does certainly mean the idea that we may go through things in this life and we will. I don't know why he keeps doing that. And we will. But the amazing thing that you see in this story in verse 37 of chapter 27, and all of us in the ship were 276 persons. You know how many of those lived? Every single one of them. Through a storm that scared Paul and Luke and everybody else on board to death. Every single person lived. Do you think that they were happy after Paul said, hey, don't worry, an angel talked to me? That's interesting. But you know what they did? They listened to him. Because Paul told them before, it's not time for us to go. So they listened to him this time. And what he says is absolutely true. What happens? That's amazing to me. You know what the amazing part of this story is? You know what happens next? They land on an island. They have no idea where this island is. They don't know where they are. But then it started getting sunny. And it talks about in chapter 28 that all the natives begin to treat them so well, and they realize that they're on the island of Malta. It's peaceful. They all lived. You know what happens? He is bitten by a snake. I just got through a horrific storm, being shipwrecked, and we can read the rest and say, well, he didn't die. This is the description. Let's just read this, verse 3. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. What does that mean? It was holding on to him and would not let go. And you know what the native said? He's dead. He's a sinner. And then he didn't die. You know what they said? He's God. No. What do we say in these situations? We just got through a horrible situation. Why am I now getting bit by a snake? Why am I now going through something different? Why do I continue to go through these difficulties? Welcome to life. You know, the amazing things to me when it comes to Paul here and what he does next is that he absolutely keeps doing the work of God. He'll continue to do the same things. Does that mean that he didn't have times that he struggled? Absolutely he did. Does that mean that he wasn't zealous? Of course he was. Does that mean that he liked that there was a viper hanging on his arm? No. He didn't die from the poison, but I'm going to tell you, it hurt, I'm sure, to get bitten by the snake. I've been bitten by dogs. That hurts. A snake? I want you to imagine just for a moment, just from the emotional side of this, did Paul know he was going to live because he got bit by a snake? The viper? Maybe he had been told that before. Guess what else he had been told before? You're going to be in Rome. There's a tremendous lesson, I believe, when we read Paul and how he lived his life and the relationship that he had with God. And it very well can be that you and I are not mature as he was at this point. It does mean, though, that we can continue to grow and mature and be the people that he wants us to be. Amen. To have that relationship with him. That when we go through difficulties, and there are times when I was younger, that the difficulties I would go through would be like a named storm. And looking back on them now, they weren't a big deal. And there are things that I go through now that are huge things to me now that 10 years down the road may mean nothing to me. We all do that. We all go through those things. Do you know why people will always talk about they'll die in threes? It's because we stop counting at three. People are dying all the time. People are going through things all the time. You and I have got to understand that you're going to go through things, but it is God who is going to be with you. Even when the decisions are other people's to make, even when it doesn't seem fair, even when it doesn't seem that you can see any light or that you can see any hope in this situation, the hope may waver in the situation that you find yourself in. Please do not let it waver in our relationship with God. Hope in him. I don't know how you're going to get me through this, God, but I trust you is the attitude that we need to have. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to turn out. And sometimes it's going to mean that it turns out in death. I've talked about this many times. To me, one of the most powerful things that I used to pray for is if, please, please heal this one. Please heal this one when they're on their deathbed. Heal this one, and God takes them. He healed them. He absolutely answered the prayer. But that's not the way we would normally view it. God takes care of his own. I heard this morning a statement that said, God has no grandchildren. That's true. We're all his children. Every single one of us is his child. You are his child. He may treat you sometimes like a grandchild. It's amazing how blessed we are. But you're his child. You have the opportunity to be a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. I know there are people that are going through these storms. I assure you that you're not alone. You know, the amazing thing about this story to me is we talked about the number of the people that were on the boat. Every single one of them was on that boat thinking that they were going to die. Every single one of them. You are never alone in these storms. Yours might look a little different. Your perspective of it may be a little different. But we're all going through things. You're not alone. First of all, God is with you. Second of all, if we're being the family that we are called to be as God's people here at West Mason, we're all here for you. Let us help you. But if you do not have a relationship with him, the only courage, the only encouragement I can give you is that he has given you the opportunity now to get your life right with him. You have the opportunity now. Take advantage of the opportunity. Because you know the amazing things to me between Christians and non-Christians? You know what happens? We all go through storms. Every single person. The difference is Paul could stand up and say, take courage. God is with us. And you and I, as his children, have the opportunity to say the same. He's with you. You have the opportunity now to be his child. If you have not done so, please, please let us help you. If you have questions, please ask. Remember one another in prayer. Encourage one another. But if there's anything that we can do for you now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.